Coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta, this is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
We own this part of your week. Admit it. You can say it. Go ahead. We know. We know. Everybody knows. Armed American Radio owns this part of your week. And you know it. I know it because I see your emails. Welcome back to the program. Tampa. Sarasota, you're joining us. You guys need new sheriffs, and I'm big fans of the sheriff, but you need to vote yours out and vote new ones in. You've been sold out. You've been sold out. Jim Coates, when the St. Pete Times loves you, you've been sold out. Sheriff G, got to go. We support your Second Amendment rights, but, no, sorry, no you don't. Welcome back to the show. Freedom 1590 in Seattle, Washington. Oh, your pharmacy is open. Your prescription for freedom is being filled. News Talk 1290, Omaha, Nebraska. The heartland is listening. Your doctor likes you. He has provided you also a full three-hour weekly dose. The Brady campaign scorecards are out. Find out where your state scores at bradycampaign.org. Don't be afraid to go there. Go there. Sign up for their email list. It's fun to get that stuff. You know, your week is all blissful. Everything's going great. Everything's hunky-dory. And then you get that email that just boils your blood. Cleans out your senses. Makes you feel good. Sign up. Get on the list. I'm on the list. Sign up for all that stuff. You got to find out what's going on over there. But let me tell you how disingenuous they are, just so you know what you're getting yourself into. This is very, very important. I want to take you back. I'm going to take you back to 2008. 2008. Remember the National Parks Bill? Remember the National Parks Bill? Concealed guns to be allowed in national parks? George Bush. The Brady campaign called it his parting shot for the NRA to allow guns in national parks. Remember that? Well, I want to remind you something that Paul Helmke said at that time. The Bush administration's parting gift for the gun lobby to allow hidden weapons in our parks threaten the safety of these national treasures and those who visit them. It's from Paul Helmke. Take a listen to this. It's very, very important. We should not be making it easier for dangerous people to carry firearms in our parks. We urge the proper authorities to use common sense and stop this senseless rule. He is referring to the law allowing you, law-abiding citizens with concealed weapons or concealed pistol licenses in your respective states, to be able to carry as an extension of your rights, as your permit rights, in a national park if your state allows such. That's who he's talking about. You are the dangerous people he is referring to. Now, where am I going with that? Well, I'll tell you what. Because he's back at it again with dangerous people. He's referring to you because they've got their scorecards out. But I'm going to tease you with that. California's at the top of the list. Arizona, Alaska, and Utah are the do-nothing states, according to them. But we'll tell you who he thinks is dangerous in just a few minutes. I'll leave you teasing with that. But remember what he said back in 2008. You, law-abiding people, are dangerous. You're not. He doesn't want you in the parks. Remember I said that. When we come back in a little while, we'll talk about it maybe in a roundtable a little bit with George, but I'll tease it out there for you now. Okay, Rob Pincus, trainer extraordinaire. How you doing, man? Welcome back to the show.
Good. Good to be here.
Lots going on. The Brady scorecards are out. We've got a caller, Rob, and I think you mentioned coming back into this hour that you wanted to talk a little bit about some training issues.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a question from a caller. That'd be awesome.
We do. We have a question from a caller I think might lead well into that. Ed down in Corpus Christi, Texas. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. Fire away.
Good afternoon. After you made the decision to take down the bad guy, he's on the ground. He's down. He's assuming ambient temperature. What do you do after when the police arrive and the only thing they've heard is man with a gun, shots fired?
Rob?
Great question. You know, it's something that we've dealt with. You know, we talked about that defensive firearms use in public DVD. Of course, we covered on Best Defense. And it's hard to be specific. And I think, Ed, it's a great question, and it shows a lot of maturity and responsibility that you know, you're thinking about that next step, the immediate aftermath of the use of lethal force, you know, especially in a public environment. Well, we have to respect the fact that when those police officers show up, they're concerned about protecting anybody in the area, and, of course, once they include themselves in that, protecting themselves. And man with a gun, immediately to any of us, means threat. It doesn't mean responsibly armed citizen doing what he had to do and wished he hadn't had to do it and means no harm to me. We all think, oh, man, this guy could hurt me. He could be hurting someone else in the environment. So, you know, they're going to show up. I mean, I was in law enforcement. You're going to show up. You're going to be looking for the person with a gun. You're going to be ready for the worst-case scenario, and you're going to be ready to defend yourself and others. And what we need to do as a citizen with the firearm is, you know, not be doing anything threatening. You know, you certainly can have a firearm in a ready position if you need to, but if you've made the decision to, you know, your threat's down, as you said, you've dealt with the bad guy, and now you're going to make that phone call as you should to the police, or you're directing somebody else to do it, or maybe you're giving medical attention to yourself or someone else, that gun should probably be back in the holster. You know, that gun's going to go back in the holster. The police are going to show up. They're going to want to know what happened. They may or not know who the armed person is. You're going to want to make sure they know you're not a threat. You know, that's the main thing. Make sure they know that you're not a threat. Your hands are away from the gun. The gun's on the belt. The gun's on the ground. We're not sure where the gun is, but it doesn't need to be in your hand, and it certainly doesn't need to be doing anything threatening. If you're holding the bad guy at bay, you know, at that point, it's going to get tricky. But that firearm needs to be low, needs to not be pointed up in any way threatening somebody else like that officer who's showing up, and you need to be clear that you are not a threat. The next thing you're going to want to do, and this is where opinion varies, I think, you know, and I talk to a lot of people. I always tell my students, go to the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. You know, Marty Hayes has put together a great organization there. They will educate you about the law. In my opinion, you should be telling that officer, you know, the elements of the crime that was being perpetrated against you. You were threatened. You were harmed. You were threatened with violence. Somebody else was hurt. There's the evidence. There's the perpetrator. You only did what you had to do. At that point, there's a lot of variables. But number one thing, don't be a threat. Number two thing, make sure the officer knows that you were protecting yourself for a reason.
Ed, does that answer your question? You got it right from the horse's mouth. Doesn't get any better than that.
I've also heard some horror stories that you should not be the one making the call. You should have someone else. Because if you say, I don't want it shot him, it'll come back on you legally later on if the family of the perpetrator wants to go after you.
All right, listen, Rob, go ahead.
You know, you want to be careful. Obviously, you're going to be excited. You're going to be amped up. If there's somebody else there that you trust to actually make that phone call and you designate, you know, you in the blue shirt or, hey, you know, my wife, my daughter, somebody gets on the phone and makes that phone call, well, then, yeah, sure, that's always going to be better because there's someone who's not going to say something inappropriate because they're excited, because they're confused, because their brain's a little amped up. The reality is, if you were the person that shot the bad guy, that piece of evidence, that statement, isn't in and of itself damaging. However, you never know what you're going to say or the way it's going to be twisted when you're that amped up. So probably not a horrible idea to have somebody else call, but I certainly wouldn't say that you don't want to call if you're the only one there.
Ed, that should, I think covered. I know where you're going with that, and that is really, truly a topic for another discussion on this show. We've touched on it before, and we will talk about it again, but I do want to say this, that yes, the your call to the police is being recorded, as you well know, okay? Ed, appreciate the call very much. Keep listening down in Corpus Christi, Texas.
You're very welcome. I'm a regular listener.
Thank you very much. Pass it along. We appreciate it. Rob, you wanted to, that might kind of segue, I like that word, right, into some training issues that you wanted to talk about, safety being one of them, I believe?
Yeah, we're going to talk about safety a little bit. You know, years and years and years ago, there was a tragic accident that spurred on some discussion on the internet, and I don't know, you know, 8 years ago, something like that, a long time ago. And I said at the time, you know, because a lot of the reaction was, well, you know, it's unfortunate that somebody died, but man, if those guys would have followed the rules, then that wouldn't have happened. And I said, you know, that might be a little bit holier than now. That might be a little bit pretentious to stand there or, you know, sit there in front of your keyboard and type out, well, if they only would have followed the rules, that guy wouldn't be dead. That tragic accident wouldn't have happened. Because that's obvious to me. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. And regardless of whose rules you follow, NRA has three rules. You know, there's four rules that get thrown around a lot. I use three rules in most of my training. There are rules. And yes, the rules are set up so that if you follow them, you're not going to get hurt. But I've always said that maybe we as instructors owe it to our students. It sounds like the music's coming in. I'll save that for after the break.
It is. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Rob Pincus. We'll follow up with that training, with some of the training discussion when we come back right after these messages. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit galcogunleather.com.
With inflation already rising, it's time to protect your hard-earned money. Call Desert Gold Exchange today, your local gold and silver experts. Family-owned with an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, DGE has better service and pricing than the other dealers. Why pay more for the same gold? Call DGE at 602-787-5950. Be amazed. You can save up to 20% on your investment. Call 602-787-5950, 602-787-5950, or visit dgegold.com.
Ever wish you could find a concealed carry holster that allows wearing the clothing of your choice with absolutely no restrictions on body movements? A concealed carry holster that provides such deep concealment that no one will know you're carrying unless you tell them. The world-famous Smart Carry Holster does just that, while providing complete invisibility, total comfort, and freedom of movement, even when carrying a full-size handgun. Make your gun disappear in total comfort today. Visit smartcarry.com now.
Here's great news and a free offer from the dermatologist who co-created Proactiv.
Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Rodan. Would you believe me if I told you I could make your acne disappear, leaving you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all of the promises out there, you're smart to be skeptical. So let me prove it to you. I'll send you a 60-day trial of Proactiv risk-free.
Call 1-800-962-2763 for your Proactiv risk-free trial.
Today's Proactiv works faster and is gentler than ever before. The secret is microcrystal medicine that penetrates pores while soothing spa-quality botanicals calm your skin. Proactiv heals your blemishes and prevents new breakouts from happening.
Call 1-800-962-2763 and claim your risk-free trial. And you don't even have to pay for shipping. It's free.
You have beautiful skin under your acne. Let me prove it to you.
Call 1-800-962-2763. That's 1-800-962-2763.
This hour of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, the GOA, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Join the Gun Owners of America, folks, at gunowners.org. I did.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We are taking listeners from every other radio station in every other market in the country that this program airs. I'm telling you, filling your prescription for freedom can be a daunting task. We've got a great guest lineup calling in. We've had to push some folks off just about 15 minutes. We're kind of moving them over the clock. How would we describe that, Sean? Just kind of shifting the clock a little bit?
That would be it.
Right, just kind of moving it forward a little bit because we've got so much information to talk to you about. I threw that teaser out with you about the Brady campaign, the kooks and the liars, the Brady campaign to lie about guns, and Paul Helmke saying that we don't need any more dangerous people with guns in our national parks. Of course, he was referring directly to you, the law-abiding concealed carry permit holder. That's what the law allowed that he was referring to when he said dangerous people. Now they're back at it again. That's right. Because now they want the licensing and registration scheme, you know, like Washington, D.C. and Chicago. Listen to what he says. Our goal is to make it harder, as hard as possible, for dangerous people to get the weapons that tear apart families, friends, communities, and the fabric of our country. He added, we want to prevent the next Tucson, Virginia Tech, or Columbine. Gun violence directly touches nearly 100,000 Americans each year. This happens because it's too easy now for dangerous people to get guns and to legally carry them in all sorts of public places. Does it get any clearer what their agenda is? Does it get any clearer why you need to be sleeping with toothpicks under your eyeballs?
Hey, Mark.
They have flat out said it. Yes, Sean, go ahead.
I know you're pressed for time, but I've got to ask this question. He said people, bad people, right?
He's referring to law-abiding citizens. He's talking about law-abiding people.
Where does he live? I mean, does he live here in the States? Am I missing something? Okay.
He obviously lives in a very safe place.
You want more gun laws for people that abide by the laws.
That is absolutely correct. That is exactly what he's talking about.
Yet the criminals that don't abide by the laws, I just wanted to check.
Now, we've called him out on this statement many, many times in the past. We read that statement about the national parks at the time he made the statement. And we made it very clear that he was referring to law-abiding citizens with concealed carry permits, because that's who the law allows into national parks, is law-abiding people. Criminals going to go to the park anyway. This law allowed permit holders in states to lawfully carry their guns in national parks if state law allowed it in the state parks. That's what the law did. And that's who Paul Helmke was clearly referring to, was the permit holders. And he's doing it again now in his press release, referring to the Brady scorecard, which the NRA has debunked. We'll go through some statistics with you. We'll have to do it in the roundtable. Let's get back to my good friend and co-host tonight, Rob Pincus. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, man. We left on a cliffhanger. I hate doing that.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Okay, let's get back to it with some training issues. We were talking about some safety and training. Go for it.
So the idea is, as I started to say, you know, what I think we owe our students is some critical thinking. You know, I think we owe our students some processes they can go through to make important decisions about what's safe and what's not, not just a list of rules. You know, and if we have a list of rules, and those rules need to be, you know, as close as we can to 100% all the time. And one of the issues came up with one of my outside certified combat-focused shooting instructors with the issue of what are we talking about when we say, you know, never point a firearm at anything that you aren't okay with being shot, or that you're not intending to destroy or willing to destroy. Or for me, I just say you keep a firearm pointed in a generally safe direction so that if it goes off, no one is likely to get hurt, down at the ground, into the berm, whatever. Well, the guy was using a training gun, using a blue gun, red gun, whatever type of gun you want to picture, but an inanimate, non-operational, looks like a gun, but it's not a gun, tool to demonstrate a ready position. And he had students looking around, kind of seeing what he was doing. And this was in a video that made it on the internet. And someone jumped in and said, oh my gosh, that's horrible. He's pointing guns at his students. Well, of course, when we clarified very, you know, simply, oh, that was a training gun, he was not pointing it at the students. He was showing the students something. They were standing around looking at it so they could learn to do it themselves. That's the reason we have those training guns. Well, the answer was, well, if it looks like a gun, if it's supposed to replicate a gun, you never point it at anyone ever. That's reckless. It's dangerous. Well, another instructor points out, well, wait a minute. What about simmunitions? What about force-on-force training? What about scenario training? And, of course, the answer was, well, then it's okay. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that I think students, instructors, anybody listening to this program, anybody who's serious about firearm safety, especially when they're training for personal defense, needs to think about. Have you said, never point anything that looks like a gun at a person, and then yourself participated in some munitions training, for example? You yourself pointed, you know, a finger gun. You were using your finger to demonstrate something like an extended shooting position. And then later, you know, in another demo, you pointed it at a student as if to say, oh, well, let's pretend he's the bad guy. We need to be careful what we say. We need to not be so dogmatic, and we need to be specific. We need to have rules that make sense. An inanimate object or a training gun or a banana in your hand that you're using for a demonstration purpose, that you're trying to replicate something, if somebody's going to learn a life and death lesson from, and you want them to learn it as best as possible, that's the reason we have those simulators. That's the reason we have force-on-force training. Let's try to avoid the dogma. Let's think about what we're saying. And certainly, whenever we do have operational firearms in our hands, let's really think about what we're doing and not just live by the dogma of rules that we may not even understand or have thought about.
Rob, you know, that's a great point. Listen, we couldn't have force-on-force training if we lived by that rule and never, I hate to say broke that rule, but when you're talking about a simulation device, a simulated device, listen, that goes to a gun show. You know, I was at the NRA convention. No one can pick up a weapon, a display weapon, in a crowded convention center and not cover somebody with it somehow at some point. You follow me?
And that's the point. They've had their firing pins removed. They have safety tags on them. They're strapped down to the table. All the precautions that could reasonably be taken have been taken. And now it's okay to, quote unquote, break that rule. And I think that's my point. That's why it's not a rule.
You know how many Tommy guns? You know how many Tommy guns I had pointed at my head? And I was right across the hallway there, the walkway from the auto ordnance Tommy gun display. All right, I had more people standing there taking photographs with those Tommy guns with that thing pointing right at me. I wasn't offended in the least. I was working on the floor of a gun show convention. So I understand exactly what you're saying. No question about that. That's a great point. But we wouldn't be able to have force-on-force training if we followed those rules. Certainly we wouldn't be able to have the level of realism that you teach in your classes, right?
No, and that's the thing. You know, we're not talking about an operational gun that could be loaded. We're talking about an inoperational, inanimate object or a force-on-force simulation gun when you're wearing the right safety equipment. We have to be able to be critical thinking animals. We have to be able to actually process information with rational thought and make important decisions without having the dogma. And I think everybody's going to be safer when we start doing that, when we start really thinking about each action we take with a firearm or a replica or in that environment that you're in where, obviously, if anybody's going to get to touch that gun and if the people that want to buy the gun are going to be convinced that it's the right one for them, well, the person standing behind the counter at that gun shop probably is, unfortunately, going to get used to actual guns being pointed at them, maybe without all of the preparation and all of the actual clearing of that gun and locking it open and the things that could be happening if we weren't so complacent about breaking the rules.
Well, you're right. And, you know, that's interesting, too, because we talk about three keys or four keys, depending on which one, if you want to go a step further. Treat every gun as if it were loaded, right? Treat every gun as if it were loaded.
And that's the one. And that's the one. Soon as you say that, it's treat it every, but it has to have that big asterisk. Because if I'm going to clean any of my guns, you better be sure I'm going to make sure it's unloaded before I clean it. At that moment, that rule ceases to be viable.
Absolutely, 100%. Gun safety, folks, your responsibility as a law-abiding citizen. Live with it. Learn the rules. There are plenty of resources. If you need to know where the resources are, call us. We'll get them for you. We'll be right back on the Armed American Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Think about your important computer files, photos, financial records, contact lists. They may be saved on your computer, but they're not safe. You could lose them in an instant, and just about everybody has at some point because of a computer crash, virus, or accidental deletion. That's why I have Carbonite Online Backup for my computer. Carbonite automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the internet, so you don't have to think about it. It takes just minutes to get started, and it's easy to restore any lost files. All for less than $5 a month, $55 a year for unlimited backup. Plus, get anytime, anywhere access to your backed up files from any computer or from your smartphone with a free Carbonite app. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Prager for this special offer. A 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Enter offer code Prager.
At a parent-teacher meeting, Julie worried aloud about her preschooler. I see Monique on the playground. And she's, well, stubborn, Julie told the teacher. She waits for others to invite her in, then she wants everything her way, or she pouts. A thought struck Julie. Her own behavior at work was just like Monique's. Julie was slow to initiate, slow to compromise, or share. When people's projects failed to go her way, she acted like, well, like her daughter on the playground. But she could change. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. From the playground to the office to the boardroom, the same essentials identify a team player. Openness, generosity, flexibility, and patience. Julie changed. Can you? It's the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
Here's great news and a free offer from the dermatologist who co-created Proactiv.
Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Rodan. Would you believe me if I told you I could make your acne disappear, leaving you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all of the promises out there, you're smart to be skeptical. So let me prove it to you. I'll send you a 60-day trial of Proactiv risk-free.
Call 1-800-962-2763 for your Proactiv risk-free trial.
Today's Proactiv works faster and is gentler than ever before. The secret is microcrystal medicine that penetrates pores while soothing spa-quality botanicals calm your skin. Proactiv heals your blemishes and prevents new breakouts from happening.
Call 1-800-962-2763 and claim your risk-free trial. And you don't even have to pay for shipping. It's free.
You have beautiful skin under your acne. Let me prove it to you.
Call 1-800-962-2763. That's 1-800-962-2763.
Hi, this is Bill Bennett, and I'm filling my prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters.
Went over just a little bit in that last segment. I do apologize. I just get so worked up, man, talking about your right to keep and bear arms. It just, it's never enough time. Do you know who Kelly O'Brien is? Do you have any idea who Kelly O'Brien is? She's the fiance of the Gifford staffer who was killed by the kook in Tucson. She is now making Brady campaign front page news. I want you to listen to the caption. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to quote the caption underneath the video of her giving an impassioned speech in front of some senators. Okay, listen to what the caption says. Kelly O'Brien had her life irreversibly changed by assault clips. What? An assault clip walked in the room and changed her life? No, a killer used an inanimate object to change her life. But let's not forget the fact that we still can't figure out what an assault clip is. We had some great listener suggestions, though, a few weeks back, but we still haven't figured it out because there's no such thing as an assault clip. But Kelly O'Brien did not have her life irreversibly changed by an assault clip. She had her life changed by a criminal. Toothpicks under your eyes, folks. This is exactly what I'm talking about week after week after week. You have got to watch out for this stuff. You've got to watch out for this stuff. Rob Pincus, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Mark.
Can you tell me what an assault clip is, Rob? Set me straight, please.
I don't know. I know that it could be, I mean, of course, you know, if anybody's seen any of my videos or TV shows recently, they know that this isn't a problem that I would have, but it could be one of those things that happens like women with the hair clips, if it goes in the wrong way or something, or it gets tangled up and you get kind of loose. I don't know, maybe.
I think some of the best suggestions we had, I thought it was a clip from a movie that showed an assault. I don't know.
Oh,
we don't know.
That could be. Yeah,
we don't know what an assault clip is.
Into that. Yeah.
We don't know what an assault clip is. Rob, this is going to be a good segment. I'll tell you why. You and I caused a little bit of a brouhaha months and months ago when the Wisconsin carry.
It probably wasn't your fault. It probably was just me.
No, it was both. Well, you had a lot to do with it. I'll tell you that right up front. But the Madison Five, let me tell listeners what we're talking about here. Madison, Wisconsin. Wisconsin is one of only two states in the nation that do not allow or recognize the right of a law-abiding citizen to carry a concealed handgun. One of only two states, of course, the other is right to their south, Illinois. In Wisconsin, it is lawful, it is legal for you as a law-abiding citizen to openly carry your firearm. Five individuals in Madison, Wisconsin were doing just that. They were following the law. They were breaking no laws. They were openly carrying their handguns, enjoying a nice dinner. When a couple of them stepped outside the restaurant to have a cigarette, a woman and her husband drove by, and the woman called the police. There's going to be people outside with guns. There's guns out there. At which point, she was informed on the phone by the dispatcher that it was legal, that they were not threatening anybody. She was asked if they were. The woman said no. When she realized it was legal, she apologized to the dispatcher, but that's not before half the department showed up to hassle the individuals who were breaking no laws. They were subsequently charged. The chairman of Wisconsin Carry, Inc., Wisconsin Carry, Inc., Nick Walker is here with us right now. Nick, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. Clue us in. We have good news from up there, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And first, it's Nick Clark. I wish.
Click.
It was Nick Walker,
I'm sorry. I'm so busy over here. Don't pay any attention to me.
Well, if Walker was any relation to the governor, I could do some extra pushing for the concealed carry legislation.
Maybe that's what I was thinking there with that little faux pas. Anyway, Nick, go ahead and tell us. You've got great news up there. Let everybody know what it is.
Yeah, our attorney informed us a couple weeks ago, and we just made it public last week, that the disorderly conduct citations against the Madison Five have been dismissed. The city attorney for Madison agreed after a full review, full investigation of the incident and the police investigation into the incident that there was no disturbance. And in the words of our attorney, the only disturbance was, Madison police arriving en masse to deal with some guys that were having dinner.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. We have a lot of new listeners across the country today. I want to make sure everybody understands what we're talking about. The group that has become known as the Madison Five were simply enjoying dinner together, correct?
Correct.
They weren't breaking any laws. They weren't breaking windows, robbing people, stealing cars, smashing windows, none of that stuff.
Not unless, butter burgers are kind of high calorie. That's what Culver's is known for.
They were essentially, if I'm not mistaken, two of them were sitting on a bench outside the restaurant enjoying a cigarette, and they were just sitting there talking when the phone call was made to 911. The operator, and I've heard the tapes, we've played the tapes here on this show, the operator asked the caller if there were any problems. Are they just disturbing anybody? Are they causing any problems? A woman clearly said, no, they're just sitting there, but they're just carrying guns. And she was promptly told by the dispatcher that they weren't doing anything wrong if that was the case, at which point the woman apologized. At this point, we had, how many squad cars show up? Four or five squad cars show up?
I want to say it was, there's more than that. I want to say it was six to nine that showed up.
Six to nine squad cars showed up. Of course, they start asking for identification illegally because of the fact that these people were carrying guns, which is not against the law. And in the United States, we don't have to show me your papers. So what happened was we had a couple people who decided under threat of arrest to show their identification. We had some that did not. A couple of them were charged with what? At that, right on the spot.
Initially, two of them were charged with obstruction of justice.
Right.
And then come Monday morning, we all assumed that, you know, people with more knowledge of the law would return to the office and recognize, obviously, that that's not a crime in Wisconsin. There's specific case law that failure to show your ID is not grounds. I mean, we have the right to remain silent. We have the right to be free from illegal searches and seizures. You haven't done anything wrong. You don't have to show your ID. And so they the disorderly conduct, the obstruction of justice tickets were rescinded a couple days later, and instead five citations for disorderly conduct were mailed to each of the gentlemen, even the ones who, under the threat of arrest, showed their ID to the police and complied.
And charged with disorderly conduct for disorderlying conducting nothing except having dinner. They did nothing wrong. Now, this has been going on for how long?
The incident happened September 18th, I believe, a Saturday evening.
Okay, so we're many months into this.
Correct.
Of course, these five individuals, these law-abiding citizens, Rob, as you well know, have broken no laws and are now having to, they pay in attorneys? Nick?
Wisconsin Carey hired the attorney on behalf of the Madison Five. Okay.
So they've had legal counsel. Of course, this is working its way through the courts. Now, I read the statement from the attorney, and I immediately contacted you. Got to get you on the air because there's a lot happening in Wisconsin right now. First of all, congratulations to everybody up there, not just the five, but for all of the citizens of Wisconsin who are going to benefit from the law actually being upheld, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting couple of years since the Attorney General up here validated the fact that open carry was legal and wasn't disorderly conduct. It's been an amazing thing that a relatively small group of people, and by small, you know, 50 to a couple hundred that started the open carry and went about exercising their rights. And for the most part, it was well respected by many departments, but the few instances in some of the larger cities where it wasn't, the action that we took is really, really brought the issue to the forefront and let people know that, the open carry is legal and with the exception of a few rogue departments, we're seeing a very positive move to train officers in dealing with situations with open carriers. And hopefully in the next year, we'll have the opportunity to conceal carry as well.
Yeah, let's go into that. I'm glad you brought that up because that's where I wanted to touch next. There has been a tremendous movement. And we've only got, 30 seconds, Sean?
Yes.
Okay, we've got about 30 seconds, so I'm not going to have time to do that, unfortunately, Nick. So what I'll do is I'll thank you very much for coming on here and letting us know. That's great news. Hats off to you. We support you on your efforts up there with constitutional carry. And I know you guys are making some tremendous strides in the state of Wisconsin with that. I know Tim, the founder of the USCCA, is working towards that as well. And we've got some bills clearing committee. Is that right?
Right now, they've just been introduced, haven't even been assigned a number, but in the next couple of weeks or next week, we have hearings and on the bill, so we'll see what we can do.
Beautiful. Hats off to you. We support you 100%. Congratulations on your efforts up there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters. We'll be right back.
Extreme Shock, the leaders in innovative lethal bullet technology, introduces the new 38 Snubby, a 55-grain bullet traveling at an impressive 1,350 feet per second from a snub-nose revolver, a lightweight, low-recoil round designed to give massive fragmentation inside of soft tissue without the stinging recoil of standard hollow-point ammo. Great for seniors or ladies where recoil could be a problem. Extreme Shock 38 Snubby. Put the sting on the other end. Check out the high-speed video at ExtremeShockUSA.net. The return of a classic. It's been over 20 years since we introduced the Para P1445. Now, as we celebrate 100 years of the 1911 design, you asked us to bring it back and we listened. Introducing the original high-capacity 45 ACP 1911, the Para P1445. We've also added a fiber optic front sight to the P1445, giving you 14-round capacity with the best 3-dot sight system in the world. For more information and to see this legendary pistol, visit para-usa.com. That's para-usa.com.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67. The Door Sentinel installs on any door in minutes. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress today. To take advantage of this special Armed American Radio offer and to purchase the Door Sentinel, visit armedamericanradio.com. Secure your home today.
The CAR P380 is one of a kind. Approved for sale in California, the CAR P380 comes equipped with a loaded chamber indicator and a magazine disconnect, which prevents the gun from firing when the magazine is disengaged and out of its proper position in the grip. These exceptional 380 caliber California compliant handguns by CAR Arms are available starting at under $735. For more information on the CAR P380, approved for use in California, visit CAR.com. That's K-A-H-R.com.
Didn't think you could afford that new AR-15? Yes, you can. Check out the DTI-4 by Delton. The 16-inch M4 comes fully equipped with a collapsible stock, CAR handguards, A2 flash suppressor, cleaning kit, two 30-round magazines, a sling, and a beautiful hard-sided case, all under $760. Delton, priced right for any budget. DEL-TON.com. That's DEL-TON.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Gallagher, and I'm filling my prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters.
I love that. I love Mike Gallagher. Ladies and gentlemen, the discussion about Wisconsin is so important. There's so much going on up there because we have 48 states in the country right now that recognize in some form your right to carry a firearm in a concealed fashion, you know, hide it on your body, keep it concealed from a criminal, and be able to use it to defend your life in the event that that becomes necessary. God forbid. Hopefully it never does. But if it does, you have that right. It's written into the Constitution. It's called the Second Amendment. And the issue in Wisconsin really is vital because I think it's going to lead to some changes in Illinois. Regular listeners know I say this all the time, but I never thought that I would say this, that there is truly hope in Illinois. But when you see stuff like this, Daley, you know Mayor Daley, Gun Ban Daley, Hate Your Freedoms Daley, Freedom Hater Daley. Did you know that he's requesting bodyguard detail after leaving office? Did you know that? He wants armed bodyguards. Because he's important, and you're not. You're not. Maybe you're the person who takes the bank deposits after the business closes every day. You're not important. Maybe you've been stalked. Maybe you're being stalked. Maybe you're in the public eye to a certain extent. You're not important. But Daley wants you in Illinois, and you're listening in Illinois, taxpayer dollars to fund his armed security detail. The hypocrisy just reeks. It just reeks. But that's why this Wisconsin issue is so important, because, you know, eventually somebody in Illinois is going to wake up, and that's happening. That's happening now, and we're actually living through it, that there is hope for the folks in Illinois. So I want to bring Nick back for just a couple minutes to talk some more about the concealed carry efforts and the movement up there. Nick Clark, welcome back to Armed American Radio. How you doing?
Good, Mark. Thanks so much.
Rob, you there?
I am here.
You know, there's some big changes, Rob. You and I were involved in this discussion back in Wisconsin quite a while ago, and obviously now with the DA up there dropping these charges and realizing, hey, you know, this isn't going to fly. The police chief, Noble Ray, Bonehead of the Week Award back then in September, it's been proven that they were in the wrong, even though he doesn't feel that way. But now, Rob, we're making moves because at the time we started talking about this in September, we weren't as close now to concealed carry legislation in Wisconsin as we are right now. So this is huge news as the state moves in that direction. Nick, your constitutional carry, I know there's been a big play. Hey, if we're going to go after concealed carry, let's go after the whole kit and caboodle right out of the gate. Let's go after constitutional carry. Law-abiding people don't need a permit. We don't need to bend down and give fingerprints and answer questions and everything else to exercise a constitutional right. Where are we in that stage of the game right now in Wisconsin?
Yeah, and to add to what you said, we don't need to pay a tax just for the right to carry. My right to carry doesn't cost the government anything. It doesn't cost anybody anything for me to have the right to self-defense. So that's really what constitutional carry is all about. And obviously here in Wisconsin, we have open carry, which is constitutional open carry. You don't need a permit to open carry. You don't need a permit to own a gun. You don't need to pay a tax to open carry. So why, for the people that prefer to conceal carry, for the people that want to have a shirt over their firearm, why do they have to pay a permit fee? Why do they have to submit to government registration and all the other hoops to jump through for their right to carry? Why does my girlfriend, who wants to carry a gun in her purse, not on her hip, why would she have to subscribe to a different set of rules?
Well, I can answer that because Paul Helmke thinks you're dangerous.
Right.
I mean, I read it a little bit ago. You can go back and either replay the tape or you can find it yourself on bradycampaign.org. They think you're dangerous. But New York City charges $392, I think, to register or to apply so that they can rubber stamp it and go, nope, no, 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 and collect $392 every time they do it.
Right.
Or whatever the amount is. So you guys are making some good headway.
Right, so we've taken the approach here at Wisconsin Carry that we were going to push for the constitutional carry. We've got a pro-gun assembly, a pro-gun senate, and a pro-gun governor. So we believe the time is right. For 10 years, Wisconsin's been behind the times of other states. 20 years compared to some states where people in other states have enjoyed rights that we didn't have. And now for Wisconsin, there's a number of other states, obviously two in the past year, Wyoming and Arizona, that have moved to the constitutional form of right to carry concealed. And rather than have Wisconsin now trying to get to where other states were, we'd like to see Wisconsin get to where other states are and are going. So we've had our rights denied here in Wisconsin for decades, and it's time for us to catch up to where the rest of the country is going, not resign ourselves to where the rest of the country used to be.
And you will. There's no question in my mind this is going to pass. You are going to get it, regardless of what type of carry you get. That seems to be where the battle lies now, is whether it's going to be constitutional permitless carry or permitted carry. But you're going to get it, which will be great because you're going to leave Illinois, that one lone state out there saying, no way, we don't want to wind up like the Wild West, like the rest of the nation, like the rest of the country. Hey, Rob Pincus, check this out. You spent a lot of time in Chicago. Did you know that Illinois committee passes the gun bill despite veto threat? Did you know that?
I try to avoid the politics of Chicago as much as I can.
I don't blame you.
I go for the restaurants and, just kind of hanging out.
Well, they did. They passed a bill despite a veto threat, and a Democratic state representative is claiming now that he is very close to a veto-proof majority. So there is some really, really positive news going on up there. And Nick, you guys are going to be at the forefront of it. There's no doubt in my mind. Hopefully you're successful with constitutional carry. That would make you one of now five states, because I believe Montana, I have to check, wasn't prepared to discuss that. But I believe that would be the fifth state, would you not?
Yeah, I believe so. And I agree with you. I think we're definitely going to get concealed carry in the next, quarter here, next couple months. It's just now the issue is whether it will be the constitutional carry or whether it will be shall issue. And if it's not constitutional carry, which we hope it will be, but we're going to continue to push for that.
Well, it's going to be a shall issue law. There's no question about that. You're not going to wind up with some goofy form of may issue. For those of you who may not know what we're talking about, may issue being that the state may issue you a permit dependent on certain criteria, or shall issue. In other words, if you meet these criteria as laid out by the state, you shall be issued a permit, no questions asked. Now, some of you are probably scratching your head thinking, well, isn't this constitutional right? Isn't the Second Amendment? What state can tell me what to do and how and what I can carry? Yeah, that's a fact. And hopefully, Wisconsin moves towards the permitless constitutional carry and respects the Second Amendment in its entirety. Hey, Nick, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. Good luck to you up there. It's about time, my friend. And you will come back on after that passes and is signed, right?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, Mark.
You better believe it. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
Yep, carry on.
You bet. Rob, it's about time, brother.
It is. It's getting close.
Man, it really is. It really is. I can't believe it.
I'm excited for those guys. You know, everybody knows kind of how I feel about the open carry in general when you have the option. It's unfortunate that Wisconsin, people that want to be able to defend themselves with a firearm, don't have the option of choosing between open carry and concealed carry. I'm looking forward to them having that option. In the meantime, obviously great news that the kind of ordeal that was created back in September is over for the Madison Five and for everybody there, and obviously great for anybody who's concerned about being legally armed that they didn't get any charges, even, you know, that went all the way to court.
The fun part about that now, Rob, is the fact that it's just beginning for Noble Ray and his department, because they're now going to be sued. And
no doubt.
That is exactly what you mentioned the last time we talked about it on the air, I think back in September or October. So hats off to those guys up there, you folks up in Wisconsin. Yeah, two thumbs up for you. We're pulling for you. We'll help you any way that we can. Coming up next on the Armed American Radio Network, we've got the roundtable. David Kodria is going to be here. We are also going to hear from Charlie Parrott from Smart Carry. He's going to call in. He's got a special discount for Armed American Radio listeners, so make sure you're tuning in. Charlie decided just a little bit ago to call in. We're going to bring him into you into the roundtable. Great holsters. You'll love the stuff. SmartCarry.com. I'm Mark Walters. We'll be right back. Don't go away on the roundtable coming up next.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.
Hello, this is Steve Down, author of Financially Fit for Life. Several years ago, following a business failure, I found myself in more than $1 million in personal debt. The very thought of bankruptcy put me into despair. But then I realized that if I had the ability to get $1 million in debt, that same ability could get me out of debt. I then put together a plan to pay off my debt within 5 years without filing bankruptcy. I made an amazing discovery. The plan that would pay off my debt in 5 years was the same plan that could retire me in 5 years. But you don't have to take my word for it, because I'm willing to send you my free CD that has proven to thousands how they could do the same, debt-free and financially free, all within 5 years. I know you too can do the same. Because it's free, you have nothing to lose but your debt, and you have a lifetime of financial health and wealth to gain. Call now for your free CD at 888-7-WAKE-UP. That's 888-7-WAKE-UP. 888-792-5387.
Hi, Lisa. This is Georgia. Do you know of any good Christian computer games I can buy Molly for Christmas?
Yes, my Jimmy just loves his Charlie Church Mouse computer game with animated Bible stories. He's having a blast learning about sizes, shapes, colors, math, spelling, and more. It's great for kids ages 2 through 8. Go to inspiredgames.com and use their store locator.
Did you say inspiredgames.com?
Yes, Charlie Church Mouse is at inspiredgames.com.
LB games are available at participating Walmart stores. Available at Family, Lifeway, Mardell, and Berean Christian stores, too.
Good, clean, fun.